O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. I read 8 verses there. I didn't need to read all those verses because I don't have in mind to discuss all of them, but that's a good passage of scripture there to me. And I like to read that occasionally and meditate on it more often than that. This second verse is the focal point of this passage as pertains to my thought, the continuation of my thought. I want to talk some more about the sanctuary and the time that we spend in the sanctuary and how important that time is. I said, the first verse is speaking of how he is longing after God and thirsting for him, seeking after him. The second verse tells us what he has mainly in mind in doing this: to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now it occurs to me, I know it's so, that in the sanctuary of the Lord, in your place of prayer and devotion, and in your time of prayer and devotion, the Lord will stand out in bold relief in your vision. You'll see him more clearly and more distinctly than you will out there in the hustle and bustle of life and in the whirl of this world and this world's activities. Just like the disciples saw him in the high mountain apart, different than they had seen him in the routines of life and in his daily activities, they had seen him wondrous and glorious there, but they never had seen his glory like they saw it in the high mountain apart. And you'll never see Christ in his glory and his power and his holiness as distinctly in the hassles of life the hustle-bustle of this world, as you will when you're engaged in devotion to Him, in prayer and in meditation. Folks say, I can pray while I work. Well, I'm glad we can. We can do that. But you can't get out of your prayer what you can when you're not working and you're just in quiet meditation and holy devotion before the Lord. Now, that's what I call a sanctuary. I believe that that's what the Scripture is referring to, in the sanctuary is those times when we draw close to the Lord in our meditations and our devotions to Him. Now He says, I want to see thee like I saw you in the sanctuary. He was fired by something. His soul was inspired. The way the Lord was revealed to him in the sanctuary, and now I want to see you in actuality just like that. I've thought many times when I've heard people talk about the Church of God, and they know lots of scripture about the Church of God. They have a pretty good inspired vision, it seems, of the Church of God. But it's in the Bible to them. And what I want to see is to see the Church of God in actuality, not just in the Bible, but in us. Actually being manifest and demonstrated and lived out. Well, that's what the psalmist was wanting to see. I saw you in the sanctuary in your power and in your glory and your holiness, your abundance of grace and all, but I want to see you in actuality like that. I want to see it being lived out among the people of God just like that. I want to see your love and mercy being manifest in us, just like it's revealed to me when I'm there in the sanctuary meditating on the Word and in holy devotion before the Lord. There's surely no doubt in anyone's mind but what you'll see visions there that you don't see when your mind is occupied with other things. In the secret closet, the high mountain apart, the door shut, the door of your mind, the door of your heart, all closed against the things around you, and closeted there with your Christ and meditating on Him, there's no question but what you'll see things there that you don't see at other times. Pray while you work, that's good. Pray while you drive, that's all right. But take some time out to go in the sanctuary. Now we have a text in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, and about the first 6 or 8 verses there. In this text, or passage, Isaiah had a vision of the King in His glory. Just like the apostles Peter, James, and John had in the high mountain apart with Jesus. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and sitting upon a throne. And he saw the cherubims flying in the midst of heaven. And they were saying, glory, 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 and praising God. This was all revealed to him in the sanctuary. Now, it's possible, in my mind, in that passage, that Isaiah's sanctuary was at King Uzziah's funeral. He said this all happened in the year that King Uzziah died. Maybe he had attended the funeral for King Uzziah. And right there in that funeral service, he was closed in there in the sanctuary, looking to God and worshiping Him, and this vision opened up to him. I don't know, that's my imagination. I don't know whether it was at that time or some other time, but it was at a time when he needed it. Now, we all know the effect that it has upon a nation when its leader dies. When our President Kennedy was assassinated, the effect that that had on the populace of the nation. When Mr. Roosevelt died in office, a national leader, the effect that that had. Well, here's the king died. And whether my imagination had, just forget that, but it was at a time when the people needed something. And Isaiah, God's prophet, needed something. And maybe the nation was in a turmoil and an upheaval over their king dying. Mourning and in distress. God just stepped in and gave this man a vision of His glory and of His greatness. But what happened to this man? Folks, you know, we have a song. I've heard Charles Smith and company back there at Shawnee, Oklahoma, sing this. Maybe I've heard it other places too. When I looked upon Christ, something happened to me. Well, now something happened to Isaiah when he saw the King in the glory. Something happened to Peter and James and John when they saw the Lord transfigured before them, glorified right in their presence. Peter referred to this on down the line. It was a stabilizer to him. And it was an anchor to his faith. He said, we heard the voice and we saw His glory in the Holy Mount. That was still with him. When God is really revealed to your soul in the time of your devotions and meditations in the sanctuary, that will stay with you. And these things stayed with these men. And here Isaiah, something happened to him when he looked on the King in the glory. Then he looked at himself. And I dare say, I don't know how Isaiah had been counting himself, but I dare say he saw himself different than what he did before he had this vision. Now it's in my mind that likely he was going along and he was maybe comparing himself with the other people and thinking, well, I'm just as good as the rank and file and better than the most of them probably. God chose me to be a prophet. I must be out ahead of the most of them. And he may have been thinking like that. But when he saw the King in the glory, that all vanished out of his mind. He says, woe is me. He is comparing himself with what he saw. the King in the glory revealed to his soul. When Christ is revealed to your soul, the idea of measuring yourselves by yourselves and comparing yourselves among yourselves will all vanish out of your mind. And you'll just stand there and begin to compare yourself with what you saw. It had a profound effect on this man. When the King in the glory was revealed to his soul, he says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." These folks that I've been comparing myself with, they're short too. Paul says, "They that measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise." If we take the attitude, "Well, I know I do this, and that may not be just the thing to do, but look what somebody else does. And they're saved. They're one of the saints. And just look what they do." Folks, you forget all that kind of thing when Christ is revealed to your soul. You won't be thinking about anybody but you and how you measure up with what's revealed to you. Sometimes people say, "Which is the worst, this or that?" That won't be a question when Christ is revealed to your soul. The reason people are thinking that way and measuring that way is simply because they're not spending enough time in the sanctuary for Christ to really be revealed to them in His glory. Now, these people, well, first let me say something about measuring ourselves by ourselves. Now, the way I think of that is that I'm measuring myself by myself now, and I say, "Well, I've made some progress. I'm better than I used to be." Measuring myself by myself. Well, maybe I could be better than what I used to be and still not be good enough. That's not anything to measure by. We can be encouraged if we can see some progress we've made. But if we just keep our vision open, the progress we made will just open up more progress, a vision of more progress to be made. We won't see any stopping place there. It'll just be a vision of more progress to be made. Now, this man, he quit thinking about the people and comparing himself with them any further. But I've seen something here, and as he saw that, it revealed to him his own insufficiencies, his own shortness, his own lacks in his own life. "Woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And as he humbled his heart and acknowledged his true condition, the angel flew and took a coal of fire from off the altar with the tongs and came and touched his lips and said, "Behold, now your iniquity is purged, your lips are clean now." And then he could hear something. He heard a voice saying, "Who shall we send and who'll go for us?" He hadn't heard that before, but now he could hear it. All that vision he had of the King in the glory quickened him and his entire being, through and through, all of him, made his senses keen. He could see things he hadn't seen before about himself. And he could hear things that he hadn't heard before. And he heard the Lord saying, "Who shall we send and who'll go for us?" And his spirit was quickened, it was revived, it was refreshed, reinvigorated. He was ready to go and do something. He said, "Here am I, send me." He was ready to go. That vision transformed him. Made a different man out of him. You and I will be different too if we spend more time in the sanctuary. And in quiet meditation and holy devotion before the Lord, we'll be different people. In the 9th chapter of Mark, we discussed that this morning. I'll not go into that, but that's where Jesus took Peter and James and John and withdrew with them into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured before them. Bible said he led them up there. I have a conviction in my heart that if we will submit ourselves for God to lead us and have his way in our heart and life, he'll lead us into the high mountain apart more often than what the most of us go there. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 18, he said, "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Changed into the same image. God has his own process of perfecting us in the image of his Son. We can't perfect ourselves in that. We don't know how. But God has his own process of perfecting us in the image of his Son. And let us recognize the fact that we're going to have to be like Jesus before we ever get to heaven. He's the model. Nothing unlike him is ever going to get into heaven. He's the pattern. Peter said he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So we have the pattern, the model, and we are brought into contact with that model and had it revealed to our souls when we're in the sanctuary. And that's the only time it will be. As we go into our sanctuary, our place of devotion and meditation before the Lord, Christ will be revealed to our souls. Now he said, "We all with open face." Face in the scriptures is a symbol of intellect, intelligence. The sense of this text is that we all with open mind, open heart, beholding as in a glass. The glass symbolizes God's Word. James said that he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He beholdeth himself. He sees himself. Now in God's Word is revealed to us what God is and what we ought to be. What we must be if we're to please God and get to heaven. And we should look into God's Word often, not to find our strong points, but to find our weak ones. Not to find where we're measured up, but where we're not measured up. We never help ourselves any by working on our strong points. But if we can find the weak places in our lives and strengthen them and build ourselves up at those points where we're weak, we've helped ourselves. We've improved our situation. Now, we all with open face, open countenance, open heart and mind. Folks, God wants you and me just like that. He said in the 4th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there anything that is not manifest before Him, for all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now the Bible said that, so we know that's so. But what God wants out of you and me is not just recognizing that that's so, but a disposition and attitude of heart that we want it to be so. We don't want to hide anything from Him. We want everything wide open before Him. And we want God to search out our hearts and try our reins and judge our thoughts and all of those things and reveal to us our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our lacks in our lives. That's where we're going to improve our condition and strengthen ourselves, is by building ourselves up in the weak places of our lives. Now he said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, looking right into the Word of God and seeing the glory of the Lord revealed there. And that's where it is, first of all revealed, is right in God's Word. Then he said, we're changed into the same image. I like to think at this point of the soul of man as a camera. Camera of the Lord. And you take a camera and put a roll of film in it, and you're going to take some pictures. Well, you sight certain people or certain things, objects or whatever, and when you get the camera focused, you push the little button that opens the lens and an impression's made back on that film. That's the exact likeness of what your camera was focused on when you open the lens. Then you take those film to the developer, and through the process of development, he brings out a picture there. And you can look at that picture and say, that was taken at such and such a place. I remember being right there and I took that picture. And what that is, or who that is, it's the exact likeness of what your camera was focused on when you opened the lens. Now that's the process that God's describing to you and me here. We all with open face, open heart, open mind, a free open countenance and intellect before God. We go into our dark room, so to speak, into our closet, shut the door and stay there till our minds are entirely blanked out on the hustle and bustle and hassle of this world and this world's activities. And we concentrate our minds and our thoughts In meditation unto God and looking into His Word, Christ has revealed our souls in His glory. And as we behold the vision, we open our hearts, we open our minds, the lens of our soul, and submit ourselves to God's operation and process to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure to make us like that, like what I'm looking at now. Now this is a progressive thing from glory to glory. We look in God's Word today and we'll be seeing Christ in one of His aspects. As we look in God's Word tomorrow, maybe we're in a different place in the Scriptures, and Christ will be revealed in a different aspect that time. And maybe the next day we'll look and He'll be revealed there in a different aspect yet to what we have seen at any of the other times. But as we linger in quiet meditation and holy devotion until the image takes clear form and the lines are distinctly drawn and we can see Christ in His dispositions and attitudes and characteristics in this way and that, and then open the lens of our soul, open our hearts and our minds, and submit ourselves to God's process and to God's dealings with our souls to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, that impression is definitely made on the fleshy tables of the heart, the film of the soul. And God has His own developing process, just the ordinary affairs of life and the trials and tests that we go through in this way and that to reproduce, develop, bring out that picture. And as it comes out, it's the exact likeness and reproduction of what our minds and our souls were concentrated on when the picture was taken. We opened the lens of our soul. And so, in a progressive way, as we see Christ in this light today and in this aspect tomorrow and in another aspect the next day, we see Him in all of His different characteristics and attributes and attitudes and dealings with humankind, friends, enemies, whatever. And these pictures are taken on the fleshly tables of our heart, and the regular routine affairs of life reproduce them and bring them out. We're changed into the same image. And I might say, the Scripture says, from glory to glory, and there it stops. But I could say, through this process, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory to glory to glory, right on down the line, always increasing in our likeness to Him. The reason people are not able to actually reproduce Christ is that they're not spending enough time in the sanctuary to get a good, clear, clean-cut vision of Christ. He doesn't just stand out in bold relief in our minds. And therefore, they are not able to reproduce Him. But what God wants out of you and me is an ability to reproduce His Son in our lives, and we can't reproduce His Son until we know what His Son's like, and we can't know what His Son is like except by divine revelation. The story is told of a master artist that spent several years of his life producing what came to be his masterpiece. And when he had finished it, he had a gallery built and a special room in it for this particular painting. Well, he was a world-famous artist, and art lovers from all over the world came to view this masterpiece of art. And one day, three men from a distant land came, and they made known their desire to see this work of art. He told them all right, they were welcome. He extended his hospitality to them. And he brought them into the building, and he turned aside into a little room that had no windows in it. And when the door was closed, it was totally dark in there. And he just turned them in there and shut the door on them and went off and left them for a while. After a while, he came back and opened the door and brought them out and took them on in to where this artwork was and left them. Well, they feasted their eyes on its beauty until they were satisfied and they were ready to go. And in taking leave, while they thanked the man for his hospitality and for accepting them, permitting them to see this work of art. But one of them said, "We would like for you to explain something to us." He said, "All right." Said, "We'd like to know why it was when you came in here, you turned us off in that little room there and shut the door on us and left us in there in the dark all that time." Well, he explained to them like this. He said the blends of color in my painting here are so delicate that if you come in here, he says, there's color in light. And you come in here with your eyes filled with the light, and you'd never be able to discern the delicate blend of colors that makes this work of art a standout. It stands out from all my other works, but you'd never be able to discern that. He says, everybody that comes in here, I turn them into that dark room, and I leave them there until their vision is entirely cleared from all the glare and glitter of the outside light. Then he says, I take them in here to where the painting is, and they're able to see and appreciate the most delicate blends of color that there are there, that they would never see at all if they just came in here with their eyes full of light from the outside world. The thought is this: God has a dark room, the secret closet, the high mountain apart, whatever you'd want to call it, but a place shut apart. And he puts you and me in there. He wants us to go there often and stay there until our vision, our spiritual vision, our minds are entirely clear and free from all of the glare and glitter of the outside world and all the hustle and bustle and hassle of life with all of its complexities. And then we are able, as we concentrate and linger in quiet meditation and holy devotion before the Lord, to see the most delicate blends of characteristics and attributes that exist in him. See, beauty is there that the casual observer never sees. And Christ becomes more lovely to the soul the more time we spend in the sanctuary with him. And I think, in closing, of a message I heard Brother Dan Croker bring in the camp meeting down at Pacoima, California one night. And that was a very impressive message. And he labeled it practicing the absence of God. Did you know that's what lots of people are doing today? They're just practicing the absence of God. And wherever the word's being preached, they're not there. Wherever holy people are assembled together, they're not there. They don't want to come in contact. They're just practicing the absence of God and just shutting God out of their lives. Shutting themselves away from the holy influence of God's Word and God's Spirit. Wherever God's Spirit is working, they're not there. They just don't go. They're practicing the absence of God. But in contrast to that, I would like to urge you and me that we practice the presence of God and that we dwell in the holy place, in His sanctuary. And as the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold His beauty and to inquire into His tabernacle. Let us practice the presence of God and go often in His presence and meditate and devote ourselves to Him in private devotions and in the assembly where holy people assemble together and God's Spirit is manifest and God's Word is preached, that we'll be there practicing the presence of God and dwelling in His holy place. Amen.